Welcome to the 56th edition of Make Pro Wrestling Majestic Again. If you see the little yellow square around our heads, it is tracking us. We had to change the camera. I am Tiger Wright.
Hello there. I'm Peanut Gallery.
And so we have kind of a weirder show itself. So we're talking about wrestlers who have conflicts with promotions.
Yes.
And how that developed more of an open-ended discussion about what it comes out of it or what's coming out of it.
Yep.
And what's
we're talking about the reasons that certain wrestlers and the reasons why wrestlers and companies would not agree on everything when it comes to their contracts.
Conflicts and what happens and what's going on. So let's talk about, you're the one who did Cody. Yes.
Yes.
You go first.
So the way this works is I picked a couple people. Tiger Hype picked a couple people, and we're going to have a general discussion about certain wrestlers and their contractual situation. So the first one, of course, is one that's on everyone's mind, you know, especially given the prominence of this individual within both the WWE and in AEW, Cody. And his situation was very unique in that not only was he cut off from a wrestling contract, but he was also cut off from an executive producer's contract as well at the same time. So that's kind of the reason why I wanted to bring that up, was just because of that unique situation that Cody was in.
Now, Cody also wanted to become a world champion.
Right.
And he made an early decision within AEW to take himself out of the main event scene due to a stipulation. And also, he did not want to get pushback from people putting himself into that position.
Right.
Because they thought that it would have...
They didn't want to see another Hulk Hogan in WCW situation.
And the thing is, I don't think that was ever going to be a problem if they booked it correctly. Because look at Kenny Omega. He was an executive and he was the world champion. But that was because the talent flow was there.
Right.
If he did that, we wouldn't have had that issue.
Right.
So, now, what exactly went on backstage to your knowledge on the power dynamic?
So, from my knowledge, what happened was Cody asked for more money. And Tony Khan did not have the budget to be able to pay that, for Cody. Yes. Yeah. So AEW has a certain budget that they want to spend on superstars. Now, he wasn't able to offer the amount of money that Cody asked for at the time because it wasn't within the budget, and they were hoping to negotiate a lower price in order for before their deal with TBS, Time Warner, had improved and they were able to budget more money out for those superstars. It's really the same reason why a lot of superstars are being released from AEW right now, because there's just the budget situation. I mean, it's not that it's a bad budget situation. They just want to keep superstars on that
are actually drawing money.
That they feel can draw in more money.
Right. I mean, Joey Janela and Jack Evans. Well, Jack Evans let his contract expire.
Right.
And I think, and then there was Marco Stunt as well, who was released, but he had a lot of negative things to say about AEW.
Yeah.
Joey Janela did as well, but I just never really saw that. This one actually makes an impact within the wrestling industry.
Right.
Was Cody going from one to another.
Yeah.
And especially given how he did the mockings of like Triple H during entrances.
Yeah.
And then him coming back. WWE does not hold a grudge because WWE understands business. And they saw the opportunity to bring Cody in because, number one, that's a big fire. But also, number two, he's a draw.
Right.
Now, he actually has a fan base.
He actually has drawing power.
Right. He never really had that pull back then,
no.
But he's really made himself into a success very much akin to Drew McIntyre.
Yep.
So
That's kind of all I got as far as Cody Rhodes goes. The other two cases I have are a little more interesting, but let's move on to the next one here. And I'm going to talk about Kylie Rae.
This one is a weird one.
And we're going to talk about this because, you know, of course, mental health is very important. And you know, you and I both wholeheartedly agree with that decision that she made. But the way in which she went about doing it was a little off-putting.
Yes, I absolutely.
For companies. Because not only did she do this with Impact, as you know, if you follow Impact Wrestling back in, I think it was 2019, right?
Yep.
She was actually number one contender for the Women's Champion and was unable to fulfill that contractual obligation. So that's why she was let go from that contract. But she also did an AEW, actually. She was, I think, AEW's first ever contractual release because she could not fulfill the terms of that contract.
And she even did it with the NWA, albeit very briefly.
Yes.
That's true,
she did.
She kind of learned her lesson. Now, like you said, now I think the Impact Wrestling one was due to a relapse.
Yes.
And then the one with NWA, albeit very brief, she took that mental health.
Right.
So it's kind of a weirder situation with Kylie.
Yes.
As it relates to that, because I think it was not the reason, it was the actions that she took.
Yes.
That led to the release.
Yes, that led to that mix-up.
And I hate saying this because I think Kylie Rae is a great wrestler and she's putting on awesome work within NWA right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Kylie Rae has gotten a reputation for being unreliable because of that reason.
And I think that a lot of companies see that and don't want that to be a part of their repertoire.
Right.
Especially, you know, given, oh, you know, should we put a title on her or not? Should we do this with her or not? Should we put her into a program or not? Because we don't know.
Right. So far, so good, and they are putting her into programs for the most part, but not for the title yet. Well, she did have one in a triple threat,
right?
But that was a different story. That was a different situation.
So I just wanted to touch on that because, of course, it's not always the it's not always the mental health issues that I guess swayed companies to want to part ways with her, but it was the way in which she went about doing it and breaking that contractual obligation.
But, and not just breaking the contractual obligation, but I do know one that she went like no contact with the company.
Yeah.
And they didn't know what was going on. I think it was Impact that
I think it was Impact Wrestling, and they were concerned, and actually I think they sent a welfare check.
They did. Yeah, I do remember that. They sent a welfare check because of what happened. But it's like, okay, there is a way to do that. And, you know, with mental health, being an advocate, I know that sometimes you're not in the right mindset when you're having an episode. And I'm hoping at least she can have some sort of push and pull as it relates to her contract, saying, hey, this might happen again.
Right.
She has to either figure out what's going on or else she's not going to win a title.
Right.
And I think that's a disservice to – I think it's a disservice not only her but for the companies that want to work with her.
Right.
So
that's all I got for Kylie. We're going to move on to the last one that I have, and we're going to talk about Austin Aries.
Yeah, this guy.
This guy has a reputation as well.
But not in the positive way like Kylie, where we understand it. Austin Aries is just a dick.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he is an asshole inside and outside of the ring. He portrays himself as such, and he kind of is. So, just personality-wise and stuff. But he's had multiple issues with
multiple companies.
He's had two issues with Impact Wrestling.
He's had an issue with Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor has hired and fired him many times. Companies in Japan and Mexico have done it, and WWE even did it.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's not discount the fact that he's a pretty good wrestler in the ring.
Oh, he's a very good wrestler. He's definitely a great star.
He puts on the work. He plays a great heel persona. But he just has issues backstage, and those issues have caused contracts to either expire or to be terminated.
Many wrestlers don't want to work with Austin Aries for that reason, because it's more of a pretentious attitude.
Right.
And, the guy, you're right, the guy himself is just an ass.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's worked with PETA multiple times. I hate PETA, I'm sorry, I'm very much against them. But he's he really portrays what you see in the ring, I think, is what you see outside of the ring as it relates right. to Austin Aries.
And you know, obviously, this picture here is of that very famous no-sell at Bound for Glory 2018.
We watched that live, and we saw him no-sell Starship Pain and flip off and walk out, and it was like, okay, you just basically ruined your opportunity to work with this company ever again.
Yeah,
that was
much.
His finisher, and you made him look like a dick.
Yeah.
And there's, like you said, there is a way to go about business. Mm-hmm. And if you have a problem with the company, you work with it backstage.
Right.
You don't do that outside because, number one, you're going to hurt, you know, Johnny Mundo, Johnny Impact's opportunity.
Johnny whatever his last name decides
right.
to
at this time, it was Johnny Impact. So you ruined his finisher. And a great moment for him because that was his first world champion win
yeah.
within Impact.
Yep.
So it hurts more than it does.
Yep.
And I think it's a testament to do not act like Austin Aries.
Right, pretty much. And you know, like I said, I wanted to choose these because they're very unique situations.
We will be talking about another pretentious person here later.
Yeah. You know, I think it's interesting how and why people break their contracts and what companies do to prevent that from happening and the risks that go into certain people and how reputation can kind of follow you and not so much of a positive,
especially
positive way.
Especially in the wrestling industry,
right.
your reputation is everything.
Yep.
So if you do not have a good reputation backstage, it's not going to work.
Right. But that's all I got.
Okay.
You know, when we come back, of course, we will continue this discussion with a couple of wrestlers that Tiger Height had picked. So,
yep. All right. Well, stay tuned for that. All right. We are back. So I went not only a little throwback, but I also went to current situations. And because we ended with Austin Aries, let's start with Tessa Blanchard. Because it's a very similar situation.
Yeah, and it's actually a developing situation right now with WOW.
Yep. So, right now, for some reason, they wanted Tessa Blanchard to be a coach with WOW, Women of Wrestling, to train women in promos. For some reason, there was a confrontation between Tessa Blanchard and another trainer, and they actually canceled promo classes. Because of this situation. And then there were also reports from workers that were in these classes of Tessa Blanchard intentionally. These are only accusations. We're not saying that these are confirmed. But given the prior history of this woman, I'm going to lend to more so of yes instead of no, you know? So Tessa tries to manipulate and train women that not as good intentionally to make sure that she keeps her spot. And that is the accusation that was thrown at her, that she doesn't train. She only yells at you, but does not give you the criticism that is necessary to be a trainer. I think a lot of that, and at least I'm going to defend her on this. She is young. She's 26. So there might be an inexperience there, but there is a track record and she has to be held accountable for these. We do not know for sure if WOW has released Tessa. She has not wrestled in a while on the television tapings for WOW. So there is a possibility. There is a probability, not a possibility, you know? And let's talk about the more infamous one, which was with an Impact.
Right.
And we'll talk about what happened before later, but let's talk about the Impact situation. So Tessa Blanchard was the Impact World Champion. Already controversial because of female to a male champion, and also
right.
Tessa Blanchard.
Right.
She already had a reputation of being kind of an ass and a racist before she came here, but we'll talk about that here in a minute because that's important. So she, because of COVID, she and her husband Daga, they were in Mexico. So she could not get to the building. Because she was international, but she was still contractually obligated, at least at that time, to still do pre-roll tapes. She did not do those. She outright refused to do those pre-roll tapes. And not only that, but she held the championship because she still had physical possession of the Impact World Champion. She held it for, I think it was $10,000 in ransom to get more money out of Impact. I do not know what came out of that, but for, I think it was two or three rounds of tapings when they were doing it in Nashville. They had a Palestinian bootleg Impact World Champion because they needed a title, and that was the only, those were the only people that were making titles at that time. All the American companies were not making championships because it was literally at the height of the pandemic. It was during lockdowns. So that whole situation really put a sour taste in my mouth. Now, let's revisit the accusations of her racism and her bullying backstage even when she was younger. And it's so unfortunate that these came out. Well, number one, she denied it. And people still perpetuate the fact that she yells at other female stars. She tries to control the matches when she is involved in them, despite her age. And then also, hard R N-word to multiple African-American stars. I don't care how young you are, that's unacceptable if they are true. And once again, we want to stress that this is only accusations, because we have been threatened to be sued before. Don't want to do that. But it's a pattern. And when there's a pattern there, I'm going to lend it to be true. And if Tessa's WOW contract is up, where is she going to work? Other than maybe WWE, but I don't even think they want to touch this.
Yeah, no.
Like, at all. It would just be a bad situation all the way around. She already has a prior relationship with WWE. I think she was in the Mae Young Classic.
Yes.
And then she also wrestled very early NXT. But given this, I just don't think it would be a good idea. Like, at all. I wouldn't hire her ever. Period. Let's talk about one in the past. This is Bruiser Brody. Now, Bruiser Brody was very infamous for being tough with promoters. Not due to a ego stroke. Because, number one, he did know his value as a competitor. I mean, he toured Japan a bunch of times. His style was very aggressive, but it really drew crowds. And this was like early, mid-80s when Brody was competing at the height. And he was a draw. He was Andre the Giant-esque draw, not around New York. So he had a problem with St. Louis all the time due to that. But he also fought for wrestlers' rights on working other places because he understood experience. And he even tried to take over some other promotion. I think he tried to take over a California-based promotion and also a Florida-based promotion, which caused a lot of issues there. They wanted to blackball Bruiser Brody, but he drew too much. So business sense dictated that they just have to suck it up and work with him.
Suck it up, buttercup.
Exactly. Do not mess with Bruiser Brody, but somebody did. Because one of the issues that he had was in Puerto Rico. And Jose Gonzalez, Invader 1, stabbed Bruiser Brody. Allegedly, but obviously. So Brody died in the shower when he was going to be facing, I think he was faced, that was rude. So Bruiser Brody was going to be facing Dan Spivey, I think, with Carlos Colon's promotion. Now, the thing is that Jose Gonzalez not only had investments with that company, which was super popular, but Bruiser Brody had a problem with, I think it was Carlos, and even Jose for booking, because Jose... Mm-hmm. What is that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I'm hearing the Amazon go off for some reason. So, obviously Brody died, and Jose Gonzalez, and I think this is disgusting. There are a couple of different things that were absolutely vile about this. Number one, his perpetuation of facing off against promoters, I think in a good way for the rights of competitors, was totally, it costed him his life. And then not only that, but Invader 1 wrestled for another 30, 40 years. He retired in 2014. And not only that, on top of that, Carlos Colon started a program with Invader 1 implying that he was taking revenge for what happened in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. It's like,
right.
How can you sleep at night doing that? And I think it lost a lot of respect for competitors of the death because he had a good reputation with the boys. And they even banned themselves from going to Puerto Rico in protest of the death of Lee and also what happened with the trial because obviously there were no repercussions. It was just gone. So it was it's a very unfortunate situation with Brody and that conflict. And we wanted to bring up this topic because of what is going on right now with Kota Ibushi and his he's trying to get fired from New Japan so he can work other places.
He's trying to intentionally get himself he's trying to get his contract intentionally broken.
Yep. Because if he doesn't, if they because they're trying to keep him. So Kota Ibushi has sent out tweets pretty much. This is an ongoing situation. He has sent out multiple accusations of power harassment, for sexual harassment, and for bullying from a member of management named Kikuchi, who is a personal assistant to Gato. So one of the higher ups, but once again, only an assistant, so he has a lot of pull. Kota Ibushi has threatened to expose things about NJPW publicly through the media in Japan, from the sexual harassment from bosses to power harassment, because apparently this not only goes to New Japan, but this is actually even going towards Stardom stars. So that's really not a good situation. And Kota Ibushi says, I don't care. I don't care. And he's really upset. And this is a crazy situation. And apparently Hikaru Shida is also having issues with AEW. Because she was taken out of the tournament, which I thought was very interesting. Now, the tweets have continued. I think the last tweet that he did with this threat was yesterday. And as reports right now from the Wrestling Observer, that Gato is trying to smooth things over on both sides because it is extremely rocky.
Yeah.
So, obviously.
Yeah, don't look for a world title reign from Kota Ibushi anymore.
And also the injury on Kota Ibushi's arm. Apparently, NJPW wanted surgery on the arm, but Kota Ibushi refused to get the surgery. Why? I don't know. But to what I heard, to what I actually think we got, was that the injury that he had was not that severe. But I don't know that because they keep that very tongue-in-cheek because it's a private entity.
Right.
So, well, this is a developing story. We're going to have to wait and see. And here's the thing is that companies will always do something that you're not going to like. And reacting to it in a certain way is going to keep your professionalism, not just in pro wrestling, but in your everyday life.
Right.
In a situation with Kota, he's doing this at a protest. I think he may be going about it the wrong way.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
Right.
It sounds like he's more frustrated than anything.
Yeah.
Tessa Blanchard, not the right way to go. Kylie Rae, more of a mental state, last minute decision, I think, with her. So it's kind of a double-edged sword on there. But and we could do this all day long as it relates to...
Yeah, there are a ton of wrestlers that protest, that break contracts for a variety of different reasons.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar is another great one. He broke contract with WWE when he left to go to New Japan and won a court case to actually still compete.
Yeah, and then he broke his contract with New Japan as well. So,
right.
You know, there's a lot of different... there's a lot of reasons why wrestlers will break their contracts. But it's probably, you know, again, it's just something that's interesting and is something that's relevant to what's going on today.
Right, and we'll keep you up to date with the Kota Ibushi situation and the Tessa Blanchard situation. But if you have any wrestlers that did something similar, I want to hear from it in the comments down below. If you're watching this, I will find some way to get rid of that face tracking.
Yeah, it's a work in progress.
It's a work in progress. I had to do this at the very last second. As it relates to that, and I was trying to mess with my phone a little bit to get rid of that tracking, but there are still some things that I got to do. So, but if you did enjoy it, remember to like the video, subscribe to the channel, become a patron, follow us on all of our social medias, check out the QR code right there. That'll send it to everything. And as always, be
majestic.